if you want to stop me, you're gonna have to f***ing kill me!
Hey, welcome back, Screen Crush. I'm Ryan Airy. And guess what? We have our new Silver Surfer, and it's Julia Garner from Ozark.
I don't know shit about
Now, this is huge news for many reasons. One, the new Silver Surfer is a woman, and I'm sure the internet's gonna have no opinions on that. And two, it means that we have confirmed that the villain of the Fantastic Four movie will be Galactus. Now, a little later, I wanna talk to Colton Ogburn and Tommy Bechtold to get their thoughts on this. But first, we're gonna talk about this casting, what this means for the multiverse saga, and a little later, I'm gonna tell you why I kind of hate this casting news. Yeah, me too. Yeah, but I don't hate the news for the reasons that you think. And I also want to thank all of you for watching us, supporting our channel, and shopping our merch store where we design all the merch ourselves, like these Deadpool parody tees, the X-Fist Club, Nighthawks with the X-Men, and many, many more. First of all, yes, I know this casting is going to piss off a lot of fans, and not just because Julia Garner's a woman. But when you think of the Silver Surfer, you picture a regal cosmic entity whose ardor for exploring the cosmos is second only to his enthusiasm for summer sports. You don't necessarily picture this.
You know anybody else who might want to kill her, huh? You f***ing c***.
But I'll remind you, Julia Garner has a lot of range.
Yeah, she was in Inventing Anna.
Yeah, and she was great in that.
What's you wearing? You look poor.
I don't think that Sarah Haley Finn, who is a casting genius, would have cast Julia if she didn't nail whatever they wanted in the audition. And also, you guys, comic book fans have always gotten mad at unconventional casting. Michael Keaton was a stand-up comedian when he was cast as Batman, and fans assumed that meant the new movie would be campy. Fans hated the casting of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because he was too tall. They hated the casting of Heath Ledger as Joker, and I mean, that guy just won an Oscar. So, I can give this actor the benefit of the doubt, but I want to give you guys a little background on the Silver Surfer, especially this female version of the Silver Surfer, so when we talk about the movie, you'll know what to expect. So, the Silver Surfer first appeared in Fantastic Four number 48. He was created by Jack Kirby to be the Herald of Galactus. So Galactus goes around the cosmos eating planets to survive, and he uses the Surfer to scout ahead and find suitable worlds. The Galactus trilogy was a three-issue arc leading up to Fantastic Four number 50. And I gotta tell you guys, this was a huge innovation for comics back in 1964. It was very rare for a story to span more than two issues. The Surfer summons Galactus to Earth, but then Susan Storm appeals to his better nature and he turns on his master. Uatu the Watcher interferes, like he always does, right?
No.
Galactus leaves Earth, but as punishment, he forces the Silver Surfer to remain on the planet, and he can no longer explore the cosmos. Surfer then became a staple of Marvel Comics, fighting villains like Mephisto.
Not the beast!
Now, Kirby leaving Marvel for DC caused some huge changes to the character that were very controversial. But before I get into that, I want to thank the sponsor of this video, BetterHelp. I know a lot of us are always telling ourselves that we want more time in our day, but if your time is unlimited, how would you spend it? Therapy can help you prioritize what's actually important in your life. I've been pretty open on the channel about the darker times in my past when I went through depression, and I had some thoughts that spiraled me down to some really dark places. And guys, I am here to tell you that if you are hurting, therapy can help. Therapy can also help you learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, and just how to live an all-around happier life. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, very convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a short questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So, if you're hurting, if you're troubled, if you're anxious, therapy can help. Visit BetterHelp.com/ScreenCrush today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ScreenCrush. So the next phase of the Silver Surfer's existence is a little bit controversial. Stan Lee spun off the Silver Surfer into his own comic book, but Kirby did not illustrate it, so Kirby had no say in the story. So Lee used this as an opportunity to raise a leg on the character, giving him a new origin story. Turns out the Surfer was originally Norrin Rad, an extremely cool name, by the way. Rad was a scientist whose home planet of Zenlaw was a paradise. When Galactus shows up, he begs him to not destroy his homeworld and to spare his love, a woman named Shia LaBeouf, in exchange for serving as his herald. Now, Julia Garner is playing Shia LaBeouf, a version of the Surfer from the Earth-X Alternate Universe comics, where Franklin Richards became Galactus and made her his herald. Those comics... so weird, so I'm not going to explain them right now. It does seem like, though, in this universe, it was Shia LaBeouf and not Norrin Rad who became the original Herald. So Galactus chose many Heralds over the years, and none of them really stuck. Some became heroes, some were villains. But for me, the big takeaway of all this is that the villain of this movie will be Galactus. So let's add this into what we already know. The movie is set in the mid-1960s, the same era when the original Surfer story was published. It's rumored that Marvel was courting Javier Bardem to play Galactus. So this is telling us that, unlike past Fantastic Four movies, this one's going to have a huge cosmic budget and scale. So now I'm wondering, how does all of this fit into the multiverse saga? Is this movie set in the MCU in the 1960s, or is it set in another universe? Now, in the past, Colton Ogburn has theorized that in the MCU, Galactus will eat universes instead of planets. So I want to hear from him and Tommy about this, and a little bit later, I'm going to tell you why I kind of hate this casting news. So Colton, Tommy, I want to get your guys' thoughts on what you think about Silver Surfer being played by a woman, but first I want to find out, you know, just basically what this casting means for your thoughts on the movie. Colton, what do you think? What does this tell us about the actual plot of this film?
As far as just the plot, and I do want to talk about that casting because I'm very excited about it. As far as plot goes, I'm not so sure that this means that Galactus is going to be the villain of the movie. I'm kind of wondering if Silver Surfer herself is going to be the villain. I like the idea of, and you talked about earlier, Galactus being on a multiversal level where he is consuming universes. I love the original origin of Silver Surfer where he's like created by Galactus, but it would be really cool to see a scenario where Silver Surfer kind of bargains with Galactus not to, you know, take her universe, and in exchange she agrees to go with him and help like seek out other universes for him to consume. And I think the way that that could play into the overall multiverse saga is perhaps she, as a good individual, not some villainous individual, seeks out universes that are in the midst of an incursion, and she views that as, oh, they're going to die anyway. I'm going to go, you know, put these before my master. And the reason that she's working for Galactus is, in exchange, he's not going to eat her universe. And I think that could be kind of the moral quandary that we see her put in, and it turns her into a villain for that Fantastic Four movie, and then sets up Galactus for perhaps a more Avengers level threat,
maybe he's the replacement for Kang. You know, if you're talking about somebody who can actually threaten the multiverse, he might be your guy. There were the rumors, like I said, that Javier Bardem was going to be playing, but they were courting him to play Galactus. And it, you know, what you're talking about is, I think it's confirmed, because like that Shia LaBeouf is, like the Deadline story said, that she is the Silver Surfer, that like it's that version from the comics. So it's not a being of pure energy. It's, I don't know, a scientist from Zen Law and all that stuff that we just talked about. So, Tommy, what about you? What do you think this means for the plot of this movie?
Well, first of all, I love Colton's theory that Silver Surfer is like the cat at the nursing home that nestles up to the person that's about to die. Like, she goes to planets that are near death. Yeah, I guess for me, the news was kind of surprising, just in the sense that the iteration from the comics, I think, is kind of a little more obscure than obviously the more famous Silver Surfer versions. I feel like I agree with you, Ryan. I think Galactus is probably going to be a bigger threat, a bigger multiversal threat, possible replacement for Kang, big bad villain for an Avengers movie rather than just Fantastic Four. But I do think if that's the case, this might necessitate the ushering in of Victor Von Doom for the Fantastic Four movie, at least as a looming threat for future sequels, because I don't know that the Silver Surfer alone can carry the movie as the villain. And it's also like we've had kind of that in the MCU of like the villain that is just misguided or is doing something that they are kind of morally torn about or are on some level unsure of themselves if they should be doing it, but it's like a necessary evil to them. So I'm hoping that they swerve away from that, but and also, you know, bring in Mole Man, for crying out loud, justice for Mole Man.
Yeah. Always. And I'm, you know me, like we've talked about Dr. Doom a lot on the channel and how I'm always like, look, just do him right. Save him. Don't just cram him into every Fantastic Four movie, like so much Magneto. But going back to what Colton just said, so you both kind of touched on this like it's a different universe. We did get promo art released today in honor of 4-4 Day. Happy birthday, Mom. That shows the Human Torch soaring over a Manhattan skyline that's very Art Deco, very Jack Kirby, very like pulp looking. So this is not the New York that we know. And that kind of confirms this is not taking place in the past MCU. So Colton, to your theory, you're saying, and I love this, that Galactus is going around, the Herald is already picking universes that are going to die. So that means that the Fantastic Four's universe is on its way out. How does that connect to like Deadpool and the Fox things that we've seen and are not allowed to have seen inside the void that we've seen in Deadpool stuff?
Well, we know we're on the journey to Secret Wars. That's what the multiverse saga is. And they've been setting up through Loki, through Multiverse of Madness, the idea of incursions. So, yes, I think if you're going to bring in the Fantastic Four in Phase 6, the final phase of the multiverse saga, we've theorized before that it could be within a different universe. I don't think you introduce another universe and it not be a universe that's going to be playing a pivotal role in the multiverse saga in terms of an incursion, going to war with the main 616 universe. I don't think you just randomly say, oh, here's the Fantastic Four, and they happen to exist over here because multiverse. I think there's a deeper like storyline to it, and I had the same idea, you know, with 838. I think we are going to see the return of Universe 838. I'd like to see them kind of bring all these different universes that they're showing, bring them together, because I think that is what they're setting up is an incursion with 616. So maybe the Fantastic Four, and it gets messy with the John Krasinski thing and all that, but I wouldn't be surprised if this Fantastic Four perhaps exists in maybe not 838, maybe the universe we see at the end of, maybe the universe at the end of the Marvels, which I've also theorized might be 838. I don't know, and quite frankly, I don't think until recently Marvel really knew, so we'll just have to see.
Yeah, and I think it's smart that they're keeping their options open, Tommy, that they're not necessarily saying this is this and this is that. Just in general, Tommy, do you think that they did the right thing here by introducing the Fantastic Four in another universe, or do you think they should have like taken their time and built them up slowly in the MCU?
I think they kind of had to. I think in order for it to make sense, they have to exist in another universe, because unless you're going to completely hard launch them in 2027 in the MCU now? I always forget. I know we're a few years ahead. It's like 2029. But it's like you'd have to completely hard launch that these like brilliant.
Give me just
scientists.
A second, Tommy. I want to answer that for you. I'm going to need a minute. So go ahead, finish your point, because I also get a little confused by this. Okay, go right ahead.
Well, at least you have resources. I've got a book called Biggie, Biggie, Elephant, and Piggy, which is my comic book, is a children's book for my nephew. So they don't have the answers I'm looking for in there. I love this idea personally. I think they had to introduce them in another universe, and I think it has to be a universe in peril that's going to force their hand to either try and fight for its survival or fight for their own survival by leaving that universe. And if you want to establish them as players in the MCU for the future, which I'm sure they do, they may be people that have to like abandon their home and like live as outsiders in a different universe. Ultimately, I don't know, but I think that it was kind of a rock and a hard place for Marvel to, because otherwise you have like the other option, because it looks like it's taking place, you know, like you said, Art Deco, kind of the very Jack Kirby artwork, the concept art we've seen so far. Otherwise, you have to be like they were also operating during all of these crazy things that have happened, like the war, the battle in New York. They were like, guys, let's sit this one out.
Same problem, you know, with the Eternals. Where the hell were you guys? Yeah.
Here's the other thing. The general audience, especially fans, we know the Fantastic Four. We get it. I don't want another Fantastic Four origin movie. I think the best way to start the Fantastic Four is the way I think we're going to see them do it. They are already a well-established team who is known by the people in that universe. And really, I think the only way to do that is have them be from another universe. Or, I mean, I guess you could say they're from the 60s of the main 616 universe, and then maybe they got lost in the negative zone or something. No, I don't want them to do that. I hope
I don't think that's what they're doing. Yeah. And, you know, big shout out to our friend of the channel, Patrick H. Willems, years ago did a video that was how he would introduce the Fantastic Four, like how he would do them in a movie. And this is what it was. It was not necessarily the 60s, but it was they are already celebrities. They're already, you know, out there doing their own thing. But here's an interesting thing about this. It's almost as if Marvel wrote themselves into a giant corner with their interconnected universe, where anytime they want to introduce anything, the question would always come up. Thor: The Dark World, there's Dark Elves. Where are the Avengers? Where's S.H.I.E.L.D. at? So by kind of taking advantage of the multiverse, they're freeing themselves up for different concepts, which, you know, props to DC, they already did with the Joker. So, Tommy, given that, if Marvel's kind of taken the handcuffs off and if they can set a movie anywhere in that world tree from the end of Loki, what kind of concept would you like to see them explore?
Oh, I mean, there is the opportunity for a clean slate X-Men that we've talked about, I think, from that, like, the opportunity for a, like, a fairly, or, you know, maybe a minimal crossover X-Men, maybe a couple of familiar faces so people don't get too scared about wading into the X-Men deep end. But I would love to see Charles Xavier's School for the Gifted exist in a different universe and have the X-Men. Again, I think Spider-Man, the way they handled Tom Holland's Spider-Man was perfect. Tony Stark knew there was this guy who was Spider-Man and like just and recruited him. We all know who Spider-Man is, like Colton said. We all know who the Fantastic Four is. I don't even think they need to do anything with the X. I think the X-Men should be they should do the same exact concept with the X-Men, set it in a different, you know, aesthetic, and you know, maybe have it be kind of. I know they did Age of Apocalypse, in my opinion, fairly poorly in the 80s. So perhaps maybe do a mulligan on the 80s X-Men motif and give us those, like, already established that they've already found Charles Xavier. He's found them with Cerebro, and he's recruited his X-Men and the team. Even if it is the first team of, like, Jean Grey, Angel, Beast without the fur, but do Beast with the proper giant hands and feet. Because that was, like, original Beast had huge hands and feet. Nicholas Holt, I'm sorry, he's got normal size hands and feet, and I just wanted him to be bigger. So
even after transformation,
If I can say one thing, I want big hands and feet Beast.
Yeah, and you know, you watch the show What If, and they introduce like the 1602 universe and all these other different aspects, and kind of it would be really fun to see some of those live action. Or
1602 would be awesome.
Oh my God, it'd be great. I would love to see Punisher done as, like, you know, those 1970s gritty street movies like Dirty Harry or Charles Bronson. Just just like do that, but the guy, do it like a Grindhouse film. That would be the film that I would want to see. And I'm not even a big Punisher fan. Colton, do you have a dream multiverse project you'd like to see from them?
I would love to see them take a whack at Old Man Logan. I love what they did with Logan over at Fox. But if they were to do like an Old Man Logan in between Avengers movies, like before Secret Wars or something, I think that would be really cool. I've always wanted to see Wolverine versus Hulk. Mm-hmm. I think that's the time to do it. Maybe don't get into the incest. That might be a little
much. That was weird. But, yeah, that was Hulk and She-Hulk had a bunch of Hulk kids, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't suggest quite going that route. But another thing is, as much as I'm enjoying the multiverse stuff and I hope they have fun with it, I think this is also setting them up for a great way to recreate the MCU post-Secret Wars and kind of do a in-universe reboot, like a canon reboot, where they can offer new aesthetics and bring in all these different characters into one cohesive universe.
Yeah, like it for old-school comic fans, we might remember in 1986, at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths, the whole point of that crossover was you have this massive, infinite number of planets, and then they all kind of combined into one. So in this new universe, there's two Flashes, and it's always been that way. In the same way, in this new universe, there have always been X-Men, Fantastic Four, and maybe Spider-Man. Right. We'll see if Marvel can finagle those rights back in the next few years. So I want to move on and talk about the actual casting. So Julia Garner, I saw her work in Ozark and Inventing Anna. She's great. She won like 3 Emmys in a row as Ruth. She's not just Ruth, though. I think a lot of fans are going to be reacting and being like, Ruth? I said on Twitter that I kind of like, you know, she spent years being basically Marty's herald on Ozark, going and doing his bidding, so why not Galactus? What do you guys think about Julia as a cast member here in joining the MCU?
I think she's, I think you're right. She's very much going to surprise people. She's a chameleon as an actor. I mean, she definitely has a very specific look, but her ability to change her voice and change the way that her cadence and the way she presents herself and delivers lines, I mean, she's playing Madonna, I think, in an upcoming, like in a Madonna biopic.
Wow, I didn't know
like
that.
This is a like a woman who can really act in a bunch of different ways. It is, everyone is going to rush to, you know, associate her with Ruth or the kind of, you know, over the top voice in Inventing Anna. You're so basic. It's just the Banks, the stupid Banks. Don't worry about it. But like, I think you know, as you mentioned earlier in the video, I believe, or after, edit it either way you need to. This is just yet another casting of a great actor that people are probably going to initially go, oh, I don't see it. And then it's going to be on the big screen and you're going to go, I can't imagine anyone else doing this. She She can handle the weight of a character like this. I'm interested to see what her take on it is, because I don't know that we have seen her play someone as stoic as a Silver Surfer, right? Like, no, I don't know that we've seen that from her yet.
Normally a role where you would associate somebody more like Kate Blanchett, you know, for example. Holden, yeah, what are your thoughts
absolutely
on this?
Oh, man, I love her. She is my favorite part of Ozark, and that's saying a lot, because mm-hmm. that's a yeah. really talented cast. I don't know shit about f*** is one of the best lines ever written. Yeah. I want that on a T-shirt. I want to hear her say it to Galactus. But no, really, she is so multifaceted. Like, I can totally see her playing like this, like Tommy said, this stoic, like, monotone, you know, non-earthly type presence. I can just see her pulling that off, like, from what I've seen of her, like, in various interviews and stuff and different roles she's had outside of Ruth. She's just shown that she has great range. And, you know, I would have liked this casting. I know they're going with, like, an actual female version of Silver Surfer from the comics. I'd be fine, you know, female Silver Surfer, period, even if it was, like, based on the original Silver Surfer. I think the Silver Surfer, and I'm going to get in some trouble here, that's kind of a non-binary, you know, genderless type role.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He is just like, yeah, he is just a presence, the Silver Surfer. And I think she's going to pull that role off very well.
So apart from it being Julia Gardner, I know the internet's going to be up in arms because it's a woman that they're casting as Silver Surfer. And like you said, Colton, there is a woman Silver Surfer in this other universe from the Earth-X comics. But regardless, this is not a character, like you said, who I think needs to be inherently male in the way that, I don't know, it'd be, if you were going to cast, say, Steve Rogers as a woman in the 1940s in the military, it would have been a bit more of a stretch. Tommy, what do you think? Is there anything about this you think that says, I would have worked better as a guy, or maybe Shalabau shouldn't be the Silver Surfer? Where do you think, like, fandom is going to land on this?
I think it's going to predictably land exactly where we could probably all name exactly who's going to be outraged by it in a public setting, and we will be spending the next 6 to 12 months getting replies to anything Fantastic Four with certain people that we're going to have to mute and block, mm-hmm. that are going to say Silver Surfer has to be a guy. And I think, as you know, Colton and you kind of already put well, no, they don't. They absolutely do not need to be a guy. That has nothing to do with the presence and motivation of the character. They're motivated by trying to save the people they love, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole point of the Silver Surfer, is they're basically making a devil's bargain to save their loved ones from being devoured by Galactus.
And here's the thing. People are acting as if there is some agenda to, you know, not cast as many white males or something. Here's the thing. Right. I guess if you want to call it an agenda, but it's really that they are doing away with an agenda that once existed, both in comics and mm-hmm. in film, where mm-hmm. most characters were primarily white males. So yeah. really what they're, if you're anti-agenda, you should be in favor of what they're doing, because they're kind of stripping that outdated yeah. agenda away.
They're flipping it on its head. And I will say this, as an actual auditioning actor, I have had no drop off in auditions over the last 5 years. And when this wave of wokeness came, I have the same amount of auditions I got 5 years ago. I still get auditions for great projects. I auditioned for a DC thing the other day. It's like, it happened. Like, there is no erasure of white men on film and TV. It's a myth. It's something that is made up to stoke fear in people that don't do any sort of due diligence to figure out if that's true or not. It's just something that is used as a scare tactic to be like, Disney is woke, you know, whatever, Marvel is woke, and it's stupid, and I can show you receipts.
That South Park episode, right? The one that was like, put a chick in it, make her gay. I wish that had been funny, because I do think there was something to, there's a point there they were trying to make, that studios are doing this thing where they will do diversity casting and say, there, we've done our job, without actually maybe paying due diligence to, no, look, this doesn't make up for all of the wrongs you've been doing. I'm so glad they're looking at a broader spectrum of actors for all of these different roles we're seeing cast. Like, that's fantastic.
Well, I think it's a good point to be made. Like, it's a hard one to make because I do think, like you said, the thesis of that South Park episode did have a point of, like, do it, like, patting yourself on the back for simply changing the thing without actually putting any thought into why you're changing it is lazy. It's like performative activism, or what do they call it? Wacktivism or whatever. And it's like, yeah, like, you know, figure out the places where it makes sense to, like, switch around a gender or switch or diversify the casting. And like, you know, and then ultimately, on the other side, come at it with good faith and trust them. Trust them is absolutely right. But it's hard to say that because people will only take one part of that sentence. Like, the whole sentence is, you know, do your due diligence and make creative choices with that, but also trust them. And that will never be taken as one solid thought.
Well, Colton, Tommy, thank both of you for joining me. Like I said earlier, there is something pretty major I don't like about this casting news that I'm going to tell you guys about right now. Thanks for joining us. So guys, a lot of fans are going to be up in arms because the Silver Surfer has been gender swapped to be a woman. And to be honest, I don't care about that one bit. I think it's awesome that they just picked the best actor for the role. Julia Gardner is a great actor, and I think she'll knock this one out of the park. What I don't like is that she'll be playing Shia LaBeouf.
Wait, but you just said...
No, hear me out. Jack Kirby's original conceit for the Surfer was that he was a being of pure cosmic energy that Galactus gave a consciousness to. So then, when the Surfer meets the people of Earth, they teach him empathy and love. This made the Surfer kind of a fallen angel who was learning about the experience of mortal life after his god cast him out of the heavens. Like all of Kirby's work, it was this grand cosmic mythological story, but told in very human terms. Years later, Stan Lee gave the Surfer a boring and unoriginal backstory where he's yet another scientist. I always hated that addition. Now, I know it's too late for the comics to retcon this, but I was really holding out hope that the MCU would stay true to the much better, superior version that Jack Kirby intended. The Silver Surfer should be a blank slate, a cosmic killing machine who learns to protect all life instead of taking life. So that's my big takeaway from the news. I don't mind that it's a woman. I do mind that they didn't use the original origin from 1964. And guys, while I'm talking about the Surfer comics, I do want to recommend the brilliant Silver Surfer series by Dan Slott and Mike Allred. It is a must read. I want to thank Colton and Tommy for joining us. You can find their social links below. So guys, let me know what you think about all this down in the comments or at me, Tommy, or Colton on Twitter. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe and smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy.